This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
The goal of this podcast since day one is to provide the best information on the Vancouver real estate market at no cost to you, the listeners. To that end, we'd like to thank the following sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Hello? 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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, you're sick as a dog.
Sick as a dog. Last week of February, I feel like every kid under 10 is sick right now. And now...
And everybody, being a 10-year-old yourself?
Everybody pushing 40 is also sick now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And you're you look like crap, but...
Yeah. I shouldn't even be here.
You shouldn't be here.
So and you've been don't
sneezing
expect
like
don't
in
expect
Braden's
much.
Face for the last...
Well, he's going to Hawaii. Gross. He's going to Hawaii on Friday.
Yeah, just what I need.
Do him a favor here.
Get him back.
Get my baby back. Sick.
Speaking of babies, actually, John Loomer...
Contributor
John Loomer just released the craziest baby reveal photo. We didn't even know his wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
And
she's pregnant.
She's very pregnant. She's like, Braden, you guys have kids. I don't have kids, but did you guys do like
I did
the,
a similar type photo?
No, absolutely not.
Maybe we should explain what the photo is.
I picture Braden doing that photo where he's kissing the pregnant belly like somewhere outside and they're all wearing.
My wife makes a lot of fun of those photos.
Would be Braden in front of the belly making a heart with his fingers.
Yeah. Is that what you think of me?
That's what he does every time he eats at a restaurant, too. He does that heart thing around his food.
Insty. Yeah.
But John Loomer's photo, we'll put it on the website.
It's, unbelievable.
It's pretty extraordinary. It's
describe it.
Well, it's his wife lying down. It's from her point of view.
So she's taking the photo over her belly, right?
With her belly and legs wide open and at the base. John Loomer wearing a strange hat. And
flat-beaked hat
with a catcher's mitt.
the most awkward baby reveal photo. Anyways, we're going
to
have
it. Yeah, go to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com to check that out.
If that's not a pitch to go to the website, I do not know what is. Today, we've got Andre Pavlov, professor of finance at the Beattie School of Business, SFU. And he's been super vocal on the recent NDP policy changes. And he participated in a breakfast at UDI about a week ago,
the Urban Development Institute. Yeah.
And he's on today. We're super excited to have him on.
Yeah,
we're going to unpack the policy changes.
Yeah, real fascinating conversation with Andre for sure.
Yeah. Matt, you're sick. Yeah. Just go to, God, turn this guy's mic off.
Yeah, let's just mute me. Let's just cut to the interview.
All right. Well, hey, yeah, let's just, without further ado, here's our interview with Andrei Pavlov, professor of finance at the Beattie School of Business.
Enjoy, guys.
Enjoy, guys.
Okay, so we're here with Andrei Pavlov, professor in finance at Beattie School of Business at SFU. How are you, Andrei?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Thanks for taking the time today, Andrei.
Absolutely.
So, Andrei, can you maybe start by just telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a professor of finance at Simon Fraser University, and most of my research is focused on real estate, specifically mortgages and real estate valuation. I have spent quite a bit of time around the world, and especially in the U.S., where I have observed firsthand all kinds of real estate market-related measures and successes and failures. And I find that quite insightful, quite helpful to analyze the Vancouver real estate market, because we sometimes forget here that there's a whole wild world out there, and other people respond to what we do here in all kinds of ways. So it's helpful to keep a global perspective when we're talking about our local Vancouver market.
Right, right. And you've been in Vancouver for how long now at SFU?
I came in 2001. Sort of took a couple of leaves to go to University of Pennsylvania around the crisis, which was kind of fun because I saw the crisis, the financial crisis firsthand. I was right there. But yes, most of the time I have been here since 2001.
So, Andrei, when you're looking at financial markets, do you have certain regions that you're kind of focused on?
Well, on the financial markets, if you mean stocks and bonds, I mean, I mostly, invest my own portfolio in U.S. stocks and bonds and, you know, a little bit of Canadian and a little bit of global. So there's no specific region or industry that I particularly focus on as far as investments in general. Now, in terms of real estate, I'm obviously focused on Vancouver very much because I live here and it's a very interesting market.
Just, we've been doing this podcast for the last couple of years, and obviously people talk about the quote-unquote bubble here in Vancouver. What are your thoughts on that?
So I have been predicting a huge price decline for, I don't know, about 4 years now, right? So I clearly have been wrong on that. not one of my brightest moments. Luckily, I have made other choices and decisions in my life that have worked out well, so it's all fine at the end. But yes, I have always thought that the Vancouver real estate market is overvalued in a sense that it is really not affordable to the typical local buyer. And that, to me, is worrisome and unsustainable. But as I said, I've been wrong on that for about 4 years. The things that support the Vancouver market is really the very tight supply constraint. So we have added absolutely no new land to supply over the past few years, not just a year or two, but maybe the past 5 or 10. The only supply increase that comes into these cities through increased density, and even that is very difficult because Vancouver City Hall is very slow and very intrusive in their development approval process.
Right. So you're touching on kind of the quintessential question here of supply and demand that we've talked about so much. The NDP's 30-point plan for housing affordability focuses significantly on the demand side. What are your thoughts on the NDP's 30-point plan for housing affordability?
Right. So I don't think it's going to improve affordability at all. In fact, I think it moves us in the opposite direction. The plan may very well reduce prices, and in fact, it likely will. But that decline isn't going to be all that significant because we have done absolutely nothing on the supply side. And to the extent that we have growing population and immigration from abroad or from the rest of Canada, we just don't have enough units. Having said that, you know, you kill demand, prices will probably go down. But that doesn't improve affordability. Affordability is about the ratio between incomes and prices. So you want to improve affordability, we need to have higher incomes and lower prices, or at least one of them, right? So maybe higher income, stable prices, lower prices, stable income, you know, any of those would work. Regrettably, the NDP budget, in my view, is going to reduce prices, but it also significantly reduces incomes. It reduces incomes both because it increases the tax burden pretty much for everyone, you know, either through the new payroll tax or through the higher income taxes that were introduced with the mini budget about 6 months ago. And then, of course, all those taxes and other fees really are going to have a negative impact on the economy, so that's going to make it harder to make money in British Columbia. So lower income and lower prices, that doesn't sound to me like improved affordability. Hmm. You know, if we talk about affordability just in terms of prices, yes, maybe there will be some effect, but affordability is not about prices. It's about the ratio, and the ratio, in my view, will not change, and in fact, it may very well deteriorate.
So, Andre, you've lived in several different parts of the world. In your opinion, is the NDP flying blind, or are there other markets in which similar types of policies have been applied?
Well, there are pretty much every major international market has now some sort of policy to restrict foreign ownership, for example. So Singapore has some, Hong Kong, London, right? I mean, it's certainly New Zealand bans foreign ownership altogether, Australia. So there's a lot of markets out there that restrict foreign ownership. So measures along those lines, like the foreign buyer tax, are not unusual. And in fact, in my view, Vancouver lagged behind in terms of restrictions like that. And, you know, when the foreign buyer tax was introduced in 2016, we basically caught up with the rest of those gateway cities that already had restrictions. So that's not surprising. What, in my view, is surprising is that most other countries and provinces and states and so on are trying to grow their economy and increase the income for their local population. And in my view, the slew of taxes that we are getting with the past budget doesn't do that. It does the opposite.
So, Andre, in terms of the types of policies that the NDP has introduced here, we have the new quote-unquote speculation tax, we have the rise to PTT, we have the school taxes increasing for properties over $3 million, and the foreign buyers tax, to name just a few. Are there any of these policies that the NDP got right in your mind?
Yeah, so each one of them, or many of them on their own, are not a bad idea. So, for example, the speculator tax, which is really a vacancy tax,
right,
is, in my view, a very good idea. And in fact, I was part of that group of economists who proposed a tax like that a couple of years ago. And, you know, it appears from what we know so far that tax is being implemented, you know, in a very similar way to the way we proposed it. So that idea is, I think, really good. People who are benefiting from our society should really contribute to it. And we were in a situation in which people were buying properties in Vancouver, but not actually paying any taxes here. So they're clearly benefiting from our services, but are not really contributing. So
right,
this tax, the speculator tax, and, you know, as I said, it's really a vacancy tax, that tax tries to fix that. But the key component of our proposal was that the tax is revenue neutral, so that we increase a little bit of the tax burden, we put a little bit of the tax burden on people who are benefiting and not contributing, and use the money to reduce the tax burden on the locals so that the local population can, you know, improve their chances of getting into this market. So the idea was to shift the tax burden from locals to other people, not necessarily foreigners, but anyone who is benefiting from having an investment in BC but not paying any tax in BC. Regrettably, the way this tax was implemented, the first half was done great, the second, not so much, right? So not only this tax is not revenue neutral, it came together with a whole bunch of other tax increases, many of which are on the locals. And that sort of, in my view, defeats the purpose. So, yes, to answer your question, yes, the foreign buyer tax, when it was introduced, it was, in my view, appropriate. And, you know, whether it should be 15 or 20%, I don't know. But each one of those policies taken on its own is a main, you know, some of them are not a bad idea. Some of them are a really good idea.
Right.
But putting them all together, it amounts really to a huge tax increase. And that's not the intent at all. That wasn't at least the intent of that proposal. The intent of the proposal was to shift the tax burden, not to increase the tax burden on everyone.
So we've talked a lot about your guys' policy. We've had, you know, I think first Tom Davidoff came on a couple years back to explain the proposal. Any thoughts on why the NDP wouldn't have that revenue neutral element to it? It seems like it was such a well thought out plan. Like, why only half?
Well, I think they're very much set on taxing the successful and the hardworking and the rich. And that seems to be, I mean, I don't want to say that's their own idea. It seems like the electorate in Canada and in British Columbia likes that. So I think we've created a political climate in which we penalize success. And people like to receive gifts. So if you look at the NDP budget, there's a whole bunch of services and gifts to all kinds of people, and that seems to be popular. Now, I don't really understand that. I think if we're going to help people, we need to help people directly rather than offer them services. But obviously, I'm in the minority on this front.
So, Andre, you participated at the UDI breakfast discussion about a week back or so, right after the budget was announced. And there were developers there, vacation homeowners, agents, academics. Was there a consensus at all on the new housing policy?
Well, yes. I think most people were equally concerned with the overall increase in the tax burden and the effect that's going to have on disposable income immediately and also on our economy in the longer run. Other than that, different people were concerned about different aspects of the budget. So, for example, a lot of people were concerned about that school tax, which is really not a school tax. This money is not dedicated to our schools. It goes to general revenue. And that's a very, very substantial increase. And I don't know, I mean, is it fair to tax someone who has work hard and done obviously something right, and as a result has an expensive home? You know, that's obviously above, that kind of decision is obviously above my pay grade, but there was concern about that.
Right.
Also, there were a lot of rental properties that are obviously over, well over 3 million that everyone initially thought are going to be hit with that same tax. Now, later, I understand that the minister has clarified that purpose-built rental isn't going to be subject to the tax, to the additional tax, which is fine, but you still have a whole lot of properties who have, you know, one or two rental suites and maybe a coach house. So you have three or four units within one property that's not purpose-built rental, but it is effectively rental. And from what I can tell, this kind of property is going to be subject to the tax now. So this is not someone who inherited a bunch of wealth and got lucky and now deserves to pay half of their winnings back to the state. These are people who have worked hard and put together a property and are renting it out. They should not be they should not be penalized with a higher property tax.
Those people, just so I understand, are you talking about the property tax because the property is worth more than $3 million, correct?
Yeah. So imagine you have a property. It's a single family house, but it has two legal suites and a coach house, right?
Right.
So that's totally legal. All of them are rented and all of that. So here's a property that has four units, but it's still classified as residential single family. You know, and I mean, I see properties like that all the time.
Sure.
So here's a situation where the property is clearly going to be over $3 million, but this is no luxury, right? This is really over $3 million because it has four units and they are rented. So, you know, now that we bring that up, I'm sure that's going to get exempted as well. And you know, I'm sure the government is going to walk back some of those initial taxes. But, you know, the spirit of this is, in my view, not right. In my view, the spirit of this higher property taxes is we want to penalize success and we want to penalize the rich. And that's not right, in my view, on moral grounds. But also, it puts our economy in danger because those are the people who likely are most mobile, and also the people who likely generate jobs.
Well, and it also, just thinking through what your point there, it also penalizes people who are actually trying to increase density in the city, right? I mean, building a laneway home adds value to the property, which potentially brings it over $3 million. People might think twice about light density, right?
Yeah. So that's exactly the type of issue I'm worried about. So now that we're discussing it, I suspect the NDP government is going to walk back that tax. So I think they're going to make it not apply to multi-unit residential property. All right, but then how are you going to decide which is multi-unit and which is a single-family luxury home that rents one room to someone just so they qualify to be multi-family, right? So there's a whole kinds of issues with this tax. But even if it's implemented perfectly and as intended, which is going to be very difficult, it's going to have unintended consequences. It's going to hit people who do not fit our profile of rich and lucky who deserve to pay more. It's going to hit hardworking Canadians who have contributed to this society in great ways and have paid their taxes all along. And now they're going to be forced to sell their homes at a discount. Oh, and by the way, who's buying a $3 or $4 million home? Well, it's not very many locals, right? So these kind of measures make it easier and cheaper for outside investors to acquire properties in Vancouver, despite the tax.
So, Andre, kind of on a broader scale, should BC be concerned that regular housing policy changes creates uncertainty and anxiety more generally when it comes to global investment in the province?
Yeah, so I think everyone in the government and outside the government has been very clear that all these restrictions are only for residential real estate. So from what I gather, we very much welcome investment in any other industry. Mining, you know, manufacturing, services, any of that, because we really, really need that investment. The problem is, I don't know if someone sitting far away from here would be able to distinguish. So one tax, two specific items to bring us back to bring us on par with the rest of the world. I think that's acceptable. But now that we have, several different tax measures that each target somehow either foreign investors or investors from within Canada, but not from BC, I think we may be starting to send the wrong message. And then, more importantly, through the higher payroll tax and the other tax increases, we're really sending the message now that we are a high-tax jurisdiction. And then why should anyone come and create manufacturing jobs here when they can move, 200-300 kilometers south and create the same jobs in a much lower tax regime?
So,
fair enough.
So, Andre, we have this segment called the Five Wire, five quick questions about Vancouver. Can you stick around for that?
Sure, yeah.
Great. So, number one, what is your favorite neighborhood in Greater Vancouver?
Oh, I live in Kits. I think that'd be the favorite. Yeah, it's a nice mixture of properties and people and nice restaurants and coffee shops. I love it.
Tough to beat Kits. Favorite bar or restaurant in the city?
Favorite bar or restaurant? Oh, gosh, that's going to be one of my local bars, like local right on the beach or Brown's on 4th and Vine, just because it's super close to home and, it's nice atmosphere.
Right. Downtown penthouse or West Side mansion?
And don't take the tax into effect.
Oh, my. I have a large family, so I will take the mansion.
It's in the mail.
I need the space.
Where's the first place you take someone from out of town?
I probably take them to Kids Beach with its view of downtown and the mountains. It tends to be very impressive.
I'm starting to think you don't leave Kitsilano very often. And last question, for 2018 investing advice, real estate or the stock market?
Oh, gosh, neither. Yeah, that's a tough one. Neither, absolutely.
Just keep it under the mattress.
That the stock market is nearing its peak, and real estate in Vancouver is certainly very risky. So, yes, maybe real estate in Seattle. That's what I do.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
How can people find out more about your research and what you're doing, Andre?
Well, anyone who types Andre Pavlov SFU in Google will get to my webpage at BD. And then in there, I have a CV which lists all my publications and then with links, and then they can go from there. And of course, I'm on Twitter and social media.
Fantastic. Well, hey, thanks again for taking the time. Very informative conversation.
Yeah, that was fascinating. Thanks so much, Andre.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Andre Pavlov, professor of finance over at the Beattie School of Business at SFU.
Sounds like you're feeling better.
No, I'm not. This is mustering everything I got for this.
Very interesting interview with Andre. Really appreciated him taking the time to talk to us about the tax. Really interesting insight.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that Andre pointed out that I hadn't thought about was the tax on a property over $3 million
right. Might
actually hinder the city's plans for gentle density, just because...
Yeah, or the incentive of people to build extra housing on their lots, right?
Yeah, exactly. I hadn't thought of that point, and that was that was fascinating. But, I mean, he had tons of interesting things to say.
For sure, and really interesting the conversation and the arguments and, overall at events like the UDI breakfast and, the Twitter wars are waging as well. So very, very interesting. We'll see how this pans out. We'll keep you posted here on the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. And Matt, before we go, I want to just thank everybody for the reviews. We've had some incredible reviews,
Yeah. Even
from some seasoned realtors who listen to the show, and we appreciate that. And thank you so much
for
leaving us reviews.
We're at 133 now on iTunes.
133, and growing. So if you like the podcast and if you haven't reviewed us, please do head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. Leave us a review. We read them all. We high five every time.
Yeah,
yeah, we're really self congratulatory over here at the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. Also, head over to our site, vancouverrealestatepodcast.com, and sign up. We've had a lot of people signing up. If you're a realtor, sign up. We've got useful information for you as well. We'll keep you posted on episodes. And if you're also looking for amazing resources, if you're a buyer or a seller, head over to the site. We've got private client services. Matt, what is private client services?
Wait a second, this is your pitch, and I don't think I'm up to it.
Okay, well, if you're not using private client services, you're standing still while the rest of us are power walking by.
That's true.
We've got listing updates 36 to 72 hours before public MLS. You get sold prices, days on market. It's all integrated with mapping systems. So it's the most useful research tool out there. If you're not using it, really, you're not giving yourself a leg up on the competition.
Yeah, and that's for
Desktop. Yeah, I'll take it from here, Matt.
Yeah.
We've also got a mobile app called Home Spotter, which is phenomenal. It's a little bit more user-friendly than private client services on your mobile, but it's also has something called augmented reality. Braden, what the heck is augmented reality?
Well, it uses your reality and augments it, so you can just point it at a building and see what listings are in there. I have a really good grasp on this.
So yeah, point it at the building. It'll show you what's listed inside the building, and you just have to have the camera, I guess, activated and the app on, I would assume. Fascinating technology. So you can sign up for that as well. So yeah, head over to the site, or just if you want to get LiveWire updates,
deal of the month,
insider tips. Join, you know, so we have over 20,000 people benefiting from this information. If you're not benefiting, you're missing out. So head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com and sign up today.
And last here, by the time this comes out, I'll be feeling better. So please give me a call, 778-847-2854 or Matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or Adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. I'm feeling good right now. So call me today before you call Matt. And Brady D.
Media@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Excellent. Have a great week, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
2000 Faces for Radio.
Subscribe today.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.